Greetings to our radio friends. This is the day of God's grace, and that gives us the privilege of proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We trust you are found in circumstances so you will be able to listen to the entire program. The musical portion of the program is furnished by the Gospel Center Choir. This is Welcome Detweiler speaking.
God saying, we never saw it, on this fashion. Have you ever been concerned about your sins and the matter of the forgiveness of your sins? Have you ever asked the question, who can forgive sins? We want to speak this morning on the one who has power to forgive sins. And first we will deal with an interrogation. Who can forgive sins? This is an ancient question. It is as old as sin, and sin began with the human race. This question has troubled people in all the ages of this world's history. Who can forgive my sin? But not only is it an ancient question, but it is also a modern question. Not all ancient questions are also modern, but this one is. Some questions are solved in the advancement of learning and civilization, but the sin question is ever with it. It has never been solved by the thinking and reasoning of man. Not only is it a modern question, but it is a universal question because of the universality of sin. Some questions affect one locality only, but sin is in every locality, from the stately mansion to the slimy slum, from the frozen plains of the north to the tropics. Sin is on every side. This race is a sinful race. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then, too, the preeminent question of every aroused sinner is, who can forgive my sins? Many sinners are not aroused. They're utterly indifferent and unconcerned. They go on day after day and year after year as though sin did not exist. God is not in all their thoughts, and consequently their sin does not concern them. Thinking not of God, they think not of their sin, and being unconcerned about their sin, they give no thought to the God who alone can put away their sin. But again, there are others who are awakened by the smiting voice of conscience, or by reading or hearing God's word, and their sin begins to loom large and terrifying before them. The more they think about their sin, the more awful does it become. The more they hear of God's word, the more convinced they are that their sin is very great and very grievous, and they must find someone to put away their sin. It becomes such an intolerable burden that the great question of life is, who can forgive my sin? Now, the answer to this interrogation is not in the law of God, great and wonderful as the law is. The law of God demands a just penalty for sin. The law makes no exemptions and knows no exceptions. The law has but one voice for the sinner. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. By the law is the knowledge of sin, not salvation from sin. Now the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive sin because of what he has done, his sacrificial work upon the cross. Thereby a righteous ground was established, whereby God can forgive the sins of all who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is that sins can be forgiven because of what Christ has done for sinners on the cross. He died on the cross for sinners, and now he offers free and full forgiveness to all who will come to him. And now in the third place, may we consider an amplification of this subject, who can forgive sins. We find that forgiveness comes through Christ alone. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby he must be saved. He and he alone can forgive sins. Yet there are some who would rather go to hell than receive forgiveness from that blessed one. We think of those who might be starving in some great calamity, and food is brought to them, perhaps by a kindly disposed enemy, and yet their enmity against that enemy is so great that they would rather starve than to take the food which he offers unto them. So great is the enmity of the human heart against the Lord Jesus Christ that there are indeed thousands who would rather die in their sins than take the sinner's place and receive forgiveness from the nail-pierced hands of the Son of God. Now, what is the condition of forgiveness? We'll state it negatively and positively. First, negatively, because a great many people have the wrong idea about how the forgiveness of sins may be obtained. Forgiveness of sins is not by merit. You will never merit or deserve the forgiveness of sins. Regardless of how holy you may think you have been, or how righteous you have tried to be, that cannot put away your sins. Your money, however much you may have, cannot buy forgiveness of sins. It's not purchased by money. Your prayers, however earnest, cannot in themselves procure forgiveness of sins. The taking of ordinances will not put away your sins and secure forgiveness. There's but one way to receive forgiveness of sins, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As the Lord said to certain ones, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And so, dear friends, there is forgiveness of sins with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with him alone. He is the one who answers our question, who can forgive sin? May you trust in this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and know the joy of sins forgiven.